fines are dealt with by the court, and the court does not require that the DCCI must have an independent budget from the National Commissioner's budget. It was also stated that there are certain requirements for the DCCI to be adequately independent, and those factors include factors such as the security of tenure, remuneration, mechanisms for accountability and oversight. And that was the factors that were taken into account by the Constitutional Court when it determined what constitutes adequate independence for the purposes of the DCCI. And as indicated already by the Secretary of Police, the DSO, the standard DSO unit, also has the accounting officer being the Director General of Justice, being the accounting officer in that unit. So we did consider it, and we considered it also to be adequate because of the budget must be done in consultation with the head of the director and the public affairs minister of the revenue and expenditure board of directors, and also the involvement by the directors in the budget reporting and the earmark fund that must be appropriated by Parliament for the departmental vote of the service. And so we considered that the chief of the board of the United States Constitution Court's decision that constitutes adequate independence for those purposes. Chairperson, and then also in respect of the policy guidelines that were approved by the Minister and Parliament, we considered that, and we also may mention that the Constitutional Court's big concern was the involvement by the Ministerial Committee in the policy guidelines and policy making decisions on the functioning of the DCCI. In this instance, we can just also mention that the Constitution vacates with the executive the function to develop and implement national policy, and that is in terms of Section 85 of the Constitution. And when read with the particular provision in the Constitution relating to the political responsibility, number 206 of the Constitution, it clearly states that the member of cabinet must be responsible for policing and must determine the national policing policy after consulting with the provincial government and taking into account the policing needs and authorities of the provinces served by the provincial This must also be read within conjunction with 205 of the Constitution that requires that the objects of the police service are to prevent, combat, and investigate crimes, maintain public order, and to protect and secure the inhabitants of the Republic and their property, and to uphold and enforce the law. So therefore, we are of the opinion that the police function located within the Minister and its really captured, and there are the fact that it's also approved by Parliament is also the necessary oversight. Chairperson, then in respect of the test of constitutionality, and whether we went through all the 21 submissions to formulate our view of that the DCCI is independent, what we could say here, Chairperson, in this regard is that we were asked to consider the rule in light of Section 207 of the Constitution, and we also considered that regard the submissions made to the portfolio committee. We've also in this regard, again, referred to the Minister's judgment, and we determined what is required for adequate independence in that regard. And we've gone through all of that in light of the provisions of the bill and in light of the minimum we're preparing to come to the conclusion. I can also just mention, Chairperson, that the bill has been introduced for 35 as constitutional by us. So we are thinking that the bill complies in that regard to the constitutional requirements as required by the Chairperson, and then in respect of the categorising 207.1 and 207.2 of the Constitution, in respect of manage, exercise control over and manage by the National Commissioner, it's indicated in our view that this is a concept that is not defined in the Constitution, but what we need to do is we need to look at the constitutional provisions as a whole. We also considered what the FACT Act indicates in respect of the function to be performed or the mandate given to the National Commission in terms of the Constitution. And we also considered in that regard the clarity of study to determine what management control for the purposes of that specific based our view on all of that, and we concluded that the National Commission must perform certain tasks or carry out certain responsibilities, and those are located within the function stipulated in Section 11 of the current SAPS Act, as well as the responsibilities that retain in Section 218 of the Interim Constitution, to the extent that it's not amended. Chairperson, and in respect of the areas or group of categories that I referred to in respect of the National Commissioner's function or mandate, those are just my own categories to make it simpler and to identify where what should be located. So it's not that it's something that I've tabulated from legislation or from specific acts. It's just to, for ease of reference, know where what functions should be. So that's on that main basis that I've considered the five areas of responsibility. Chairperson, and then in respect of the appointment of the director of the DPCI, whether it should not be done in terms of parliament shortlisting the mayors and nominees for the appointment. Chairperson, we've also considered in that regard the legislation, and we need to just specify that in this regard we also considered the Constitutional Court, and the Constitutional Court had specified that there are certain requirements for adequate independence for the DPCI. And it, in this regard, the board provides that the minister is the appointing authority for the head of the DPCI, and that the head will therefore then report to the minister of police for and the council, the minister of police for performing of his function. Chairperson, that is in respect of adequate independence. It is not, and I again reiterate the requirements that this body should be totally independent, and that's not required by the court. Chairperson, then in respect of the question pertaining to the National Commissioner, whether that will be making the appointment of the National Commissioner political. Chairperson, we've considered Section 205, 206, and 207, and what we have as done, we've considered those provisions in the Constitution to examine the provisions related to the role and the function of the National Commissioner, and the constitutional mandate given to the National Commissioner to exercise control over and to perform its functions. We have also carefully considered the impact of Section 206 as indicated, as well as the various sections of the SAPS Act. What we can also say, Chairman, is that the appointment of the National Commission is made in terms of the required section of the Constitution and in accordance with Section 6 of the SAPS Act. We can just also mention that this section was amended in the Bill to align the SAPS Act with the provision of the Constitution, which was stated that was previously 216, that was referred to the Section 6 of the SAPS Act. And what we also considered when we considered 206 and 205 was that the National Commission is appointed by the President in accordance with Section 271, the rest of Section 6 of the SAPS Act. We also considered the appointment procedures and the specific provisions that are made where there's a loss of confidence between the National Commissioner. And here it must be just mentioned that where there's a loss of confidence in the National Commissioner, it must be noted that the entire Parliament has actually confidence in the National Commissioner, and then the President may establish a board of inquiry to inquire into the circumstances of this loss of confidence. Also, the provisions in the SAPS Act provide for specific matters that can happen within the misconduct proceeding process, and that is in position Section 9 of the SAPS Act. And we concluded, therefore, that the appointment of the fit to the question of to observe as a whole and not in isolation to the two or two in one, that's one already. That is correct. You have to do all of the provisions of the Constitution, and it informs the Constitution is informed by the specific provisions in this instance of the police chapter. Chapter 11 in the Constitution, and more specifically sections 205, 206, and 213 that take into account the aspect of the functioning of the police service, the political responsibility and the control of the police. Those sections must be considered in looking at particular issues. And then also just to indicate to the member that the question pertaining to the making of policy contrary to the Constitution, whether it can be legislated upon, Section 2 of the Constitution provides that the Constitution is the law of the country, and therefore any law in conflict that is in conflict with the Constitution or the Constitution. In respect of whether we considered all of 205, 206, and 207, and what were the references that we made when we addressed the committee and our views in respect of question that we were asked. What we've done is we've considered all of those particular provisions, and we did so to examine the role and the function of the National Commissioner and the constitutional mandate that was given to the National Commissioner to exercise control over the managing of the police. And we've done so to see that it's important for the National Police policy and the directions of the Minister of Police, and we've also then evaluated all of that function to the legislative manager that he looks at the PCI in terms of the thorough statute and to the functions of the PCI. So we've considered all of those provisions. And what we've done is we've unpacked them. We've looked at what is Section 205 providing for. We've also considered what Section 206 of the Constitution has that provides for the political responsibilities and that's located in the member of cabinet responsible for policing. Also considered 2062 that provides national policing policy that makes provision for efficient policy. Looks at 207 that gives the National Commissioner the mandate to exercise control over and to manage the police service. Also looks at 207 that gives the appointment procedures to the National Commissioner for the Commission.
You talk about command and control, have you looked at the classification of command and control as defined in the Department of Defense and in the military? Because if you want to understand where this comes from, the origin of command and control is from the military. It is in SAPS because SAPS is a paramilitary class.
Thank you. That is managed control in terms of the National Commission, but we have looked at the activities and that you want to for the particular mandate.
No, thank you very much. I think one thing that was said last week in a nutshell was that it is not about where the house is built, but how it is built. That was the message. About the structure and the operation. Where it is located according to the judgment, not unconstitutional. So it's about that. And this is exactly what we'll be embarking on going forward. We have a tool system.
things to affect the subject. Anything else is not within our mandate. And if we want to have a Chapter 9 institution, that is not before the court for the committee. If we want to have an ICC type of structure, it's not before the portfolio committee right now. What is it that is before the portfolio committee is the amendment of the South African Police Service. That's what is before the portfolio committee for now. And then any other thing outside that funding, we'll look into it later if it has got to be looked into. Probably not even by this portfolio committee. It is before the portfolio committee was the South African Police Service Amendment Act. That is what is before us. And the judgment says no problem with its location. Look into the operations and the structure. How it is, how it is built, and not where it is. That's what the Constitutional Court has said. And I think that is exactly what we will have to do to pay our mandate going forward. Otherwise, anything else, Honorable George, we'll probably have to come through the, what is it, members' interest committee, or private members' legislation, whatever. We'll have to come through this. But for now, what is before the portfolio committee is the amendment of the South African Police Service Act. I want to thank you, members. I think for now, we're going to leave it at this. Let me again encourage members to please read the judgment. Please, let's read the judgment. Some of the questions that we have asked are indeed answered in the judgment itself. Whether you want to talk independently, they in the judgment clearly tells us as to what is an adequate independence, and it refers us to this CO whatever. It refers us to that, and it tabulates the judgment is tabulating that. So it's a matter of all of us going back to the OECD, going back to the judgment itself, bringing it. There is also a need for us to read the minority judgment, because sometimes the majority judgment refers to the majority, to the minority judgment. We agree with the main judgment, and that is the minority judgment. So you must. It is important for us to know as to what it is that they are agreeing with in the what they refer to as the main judgment. It will be important for us to read both the even or today or whatever time is we processing this bill. Thank you very much. We are going to meet tomorrow at 2 o'clock in this very same venue. To continue with the deliberation. But before we close this meeting or attend this meeting, I just want to formally table the report of the Portfolio Committee on Police as budget was certified by the Department of Police 2012 dated to May 2012. And I understand that we have a lot to do. We're debating next week, so shortly we probably are preparing our speeches. So we participate, and we have this, which I say we must read. However, I will also request that we try to find time to read this report, so that we then can adopt it on Friday as the portfolio committee. So I am really requesting that we go through this report. It's not long, but I think it will be important that we read this report. So this report is tabled, copies have been distributed. We request that members bring those copies along with them on Friday, because those copies will have been read by members and corrections made.
if it is anything major that we identify in the report, members are free to bring those to the attention of the chairperson so that probably those corrections can be effected before Friday, so that our meeting on Friday on the adoption of the chairperson will not take long. Remember, it will be the bill itself plus the report that we have to adopt.
Honourable Chair, I think the challenge we have is unless we adopt the report on Friday, we cannot debate on Tuesday or on Wednesday. That's the challenge. Yeah. No, in fact, it means less golf and more drinking.
So yes, we will be therefore at the report on Friday, so that we can debate on Wednesday. Okay.
Thank you very much.